Hello and welcome to the Even Me podcast. This is your host, Morph.
And your girl, Kim.
All right. And today we are back. We had a delay with our special guest that was coming this week. So we have another topic. So today's topic is going to be, can trauma from your past bleed over into your current or to your future relationships? And go ahead, Kim, explain what do we mean by this?
What we mean about it by this is like mental issues, your past trauma. People, I'm learning, and I keep saying learning as my journey going on and on, that people are made by their history. A person is developed from what their past history has taught them. So a lot of people don't think that they have issues coming from either a past relationship, childhood trauma. They don't think that, they just like, this is the way I am, and you deal with it or you don't. But that's not the way you are. Something calls you to act and be this way. And now that I'm talking to a lot of people that's going through their mental health issues, that they are starting to see that this is something that's causing a problem in my relationships with my significant other, in my relationship with friends, you know what I'm saying? Or in relationships or trying to get into a relationship, because a past relationship can make you or break you if you never recover from it.
Okay. So what do you think would be ways of getting over the mental trauma or, the physical trauma in a past relationship so it doesn't hinder your new relationship?
The best way, when people used to say, to get over one, you have to get under one. Nah, that's the worst thing to ever do. Now, do you want to have somebody close to you because that other person has forsaken you or hurt you? Yes, you do. I mean, everybody does. They want that emotional, that physical touch or whatever. But I say in learning, you trying to get over somebody by getting under somebody, all that's going to do is bring your past trauma and their past trauma together, and it's going to clash, which you could be a good relationship, a good mate for each other, but you haven't gotten over. You moved on, but you haven't recovered from that. And it can be things that go from simple somebody cheat, or to somebody trying to hurt you. We're seeing that a lot now, people trying to murder each other, their significant other to get out of the relationship with them. So I think it's just first stepping back, knowing you don't have to tell anybody that if you don't want to, but knowing that you was hurt in this relationship and working on those things of you. Now, this book that one of my coworkers gave me by Joyce Myers is really good. Battle of the Mind. And it's definitely, I just started reading it. And it definitely talks about how things can transpire from our past that lead over into our future and make us the way we are. We don't want to be that way. But this is the way we are because it came, I seen some men seeing their mom get abused or seeing their father be the hardcore man in the house. So that's what they think and they have to be. Some women think, I'm not going to let a man control me, so I don't submit to him because I've seen my mama submit. It's just stuff like that. But we need to check ourselves mentally, emotionally, and to correct some things about us.
Okay. I was listening to what you're saying. And you mentioned like physical abuse, and I think sometimes, I know we talked in the past about going to therapy and things like that, and couples therapy, or therapy just to get over previous issues that you had in a relationship, maybe mental abuse like you're saying. But I think sometimes it's good for the actual person to step back and kind of see, see clearly what happened in the past. So like that, like you're doing, you're looking for that Mr. Right, but you're making sure that that Mr. Right is the one that is not going to hurt you, not going to talk about you, not going to beat you, not going to, you know, checking those boxes at the same time that you're checking the other boxes, you know, the tall, dark, and handsome, or no broken ducks. Because like we spoke about last week, there's everyone has some type of trauma, whether it be, you know, something they seen in the past, you know, something they live, you know, throughout their childhood, or, you know, and it all comes down to how you're willing to handle it, how you're willing to move forward. Because if you came from an abusive family, an abusive father, abusive mother, and you turn into be that same abusive mother, abusive father, you're just basically just continuing the pattern. You know, you're not fixing what happened in the past. So like I can tell you, you know, in the past, you know, my mom and dad, their relationship was pretty rocky. And my mom just said, look, the hell with it. We moved, we came to Houston, and we've been here ever since. And I mean, me seeing what my mom went through, because my dad used to drink a lot at that time, I always said in my mind, if I drink, I'm going to drink, but I'm not going to drink to get drunk and then come home, you know, slurring my words and, you know, cause a commotion or anything like that. And then also, you know, abusive, you know, he could be abusive from time to time, but, you know, he would never like lay a hand on my mom. And the one time he kind of got loud, she basically hemmed him up until the cops got there. But I always said, you know, if push comes to shove, you know, I would make sure that either my wife or a significant other wasn't abusive to the kids, you know, or each other. So like that, you know, I could move forward from that and not continue the, you know, the, I guess, the family legacy of abuse, you know, just get out of it. But, you know, on the other hand, there's people that can't get past that. You know, that's how some of these, you know, rapists become rapists, because either they were raped or they seen something, or they were abused, or, you know, something like that. You know, it something always leads to something to, you know, hurt their mental, you know, their mental. And I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, their how they turn out pretty much.
Yeah, it's like the thing of it is people don't understand, and you wonder why you keep going in this circle, because you haven't really figured you out. You don't know why you act the way you act, what you do, why you do the things you do. But when you sit back and think back, you know, I don't like this way about myself. So the one thing that I had a problem with saying I'm sorry. I was saying I'm sorry because I feel like if you say you're sorry, you're supposed to commit to making that change. Saying you're sorry means I do see the error of my ways. I don't want to do that again. And I move on, right? But people say they're sorry just to say it. And some people have seen that in their history. Like, oh, my dad used to come back and say he's sorry after he did what he did. It should be okay. But you saying you're sorry and continuously do the same thing. I'm the person that has the hardest time saying I'm sorry. And if I do say tell somebody I'm sorry, that means I'm genuine about I'm not going to do this again. But if I don't want to say I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm going to cuss you out tomorrow. I may cuss you out right here. And then if I apologize and it happened tomorrow, that's not being genuine. So a lot of people see that type of stuff or, you know, getting drunk and don't remember what happened or what I said. I don't like that at all. And that's one of my past, you know, traumas, you know, from my childhood, you know, people getting drunk and being so drunk, they don't remember the next day what they did or said. You know what I'm saying? It's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten drunk to that point to where I don't remember anything. So I feel it's real hard to do that unless you're like stupid drunk. You know, it's got to be a lot, either that or you're lightweight. I mean, I can't remember, you know, getting that drunk, even though sometimes, you know, you get drunk to the point and you drive and you made it home, but your mind knows how to drive there, but you don't remember how you got home. I mean, that's a little different, but I mean, I think, like I said before, I think everyone has some type of baggage, some type of trauma, some type of, you know, something happened in everyone's life. There's no way, unless you are in a bubble or something, or, you know, you came from money, you know, you had some type of trauma. I mean, I don't think anyone I know didn't go through something, or, you know, was mischievous, or, you know, or slept around, or, you know, it's always something, you know? So I think with that, and bringing something like that into a relationship could harm the relationship, unless you are upfront with your significant other, just let them know. And hopefully, you know, they're trustworthy to the point where they don't use that situation against you, because that could happen as well.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of times that some things happen. You think that you can confide into that person. Hey, you're trying to let them know ahead of time. How can I say it? My ex says that when I do bite, I bite hard, but I warned before, you know, I told you this out of confidence that this is the way I am. I don't like it. So I question you. Hey, what was your intent when you said or did what you did? You know, it bothers me. So if I'm singing, like, you know, to him, begging, don't do it no more, crying to you, don't, please don't do it, I don't like it. But then you get that person that just angry and go off because I didn't did everything asking you, begging and pleading. So then I get to asking other people questions. Am I tripping? Did this person not respect me? What did I do to cause them not to respect me? If I respect them, and so then after a while, if I care about you, I'm going to bite you. And if I didn't care, it's like, I don't give a care, you know, just stop talking to you. But if I really care, I'm going to bite you. Tears going to come out. I'm going to apologize for biting you, but I did warn you. So it goes on from your past. It can be devastating to your future.
Yeah, I think bringing baggage. I mean, when I came into this relationship, you know, I had some previous issues, and, you know, I made sure, you know, in my mind, I had some boxes that I needed to check to make sure that I didn't bring it. You know, sometimes you bring up something just because you remember it from a previous relationship, and it's best to hold it back because you don't want to bring up something and that person, you know, maybe they're semi-jealous, you know, and you bring up something that happened in the past, and it's just going to blow up out of proportion. Like, you say, oh, you know, we did this back in the day, you know, or I did this with this person, and, you know, they're going to be like, well, shit, are you thinking about them? What the hell's going on? Why are you even, you know, bringing that up? But the mind is tricky. The mind, you know, things will just snap in your mind, and it just pops up, at least for me. You know, you do something that you've done before, and you're like, shit, I've done this before. And then you mention it, and you try and bring it into the conversation to where it's not, like, hurtful to that person. You know, you just, you know, bring it to the conversation. But, I mean, I think, like we said, I think baggage is going to be that way, unless it's like a new relationship and that person has never dated and you're never dated. You know, it's kind of tough to come into a relationship and nothing's ever happened before. So, I mean, I see what you're saying, but I do understand that sometimes, you know, the broken duck is still going to be a broken duck. He just may have a twisted ankle instead of a broken wing.
Yeah, it's like, you know, how can I say? I know my thing, my problem is my mind. That's why this book my coworker gave me, and it's good by George Myers. I'm going to say it again, Battle of the Mind. That's some Battle of the Mind. But it breaks it down to how Satan uses our thoughts. You don't even be thinking it, but he'll congregate something in your head, and then all of a sudden you believe in that it's true. And I am the I'm guilty of that. I do like, you know, so since they didn't clarify what they're trying to say or what they're doing, I just make up a whole new story into my own head.
Or your own mind, yes.
Yes, it's a whole, it's a ghetto story, but it's a story in there, and it came up with all kinds of characters and everything, but I'm working on it. I have to, this is where it really, prayer has to come into it, to work on my mind, because he know, like they say, he seeks, and he, you know, what he does to come to seek, kill, and destroy, he can destroy your mind, and it just, it takes over, you know, you be scared, like, after the death of my son, my mom was so bad, I was scared to leave out of the house. That's how bad he trapped me. He did it that way. I was scared to go out the house. What would happen if I walk out the house? I didn't want my babies away from me, because what could happen to them too? It was just, I didn't want them to go to school. Then the shootings at the school. I mean, it was just, instead of me just giving it to God and just praying, I was just afraid. And God don't, you know, he don't believe in that, you know, the fear. He knows flesh is flesh, but he wants you to trust him. But I couldn't. I was so caught up, and that's what the devil wants. So when you go into another relationship, you take all that with you. Even though you think you're not taking it with you, you're taking it with you. Eventually, it's surfacing somewhere, waiting to come up. And so, just, you know, you want to ask the question about the little week-long...
Your week-long rendezvous.
Yeah.
So, speaking of mental health, tell us about your little relationship that you kind of triggered him.
This is like, wasn't even a full week. It's crazy, right? You know? So, somebody tried to talk to me, and I was like, okay, just talking. We had breakfast, went out to have breakfast together. I gave him a chance because what he was talking about really just, you know, wasn't, it didn't sound right. It sounded like some issues was there. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that God given me discernment to pick it up early. I was like, dang, something ain't right. So went to breakfast and, you know, maybe it's just me. There I go again. So I went to breakfast and then we talked. Couple of days after, so he was talking about his job. So, you know, I feel like, okay, why are you talking about how much money you make? And I think you being a therapist, you need to have a therapist too, because you're listening to so many people problems. So he's a therapist, right? He's a therapist. So he was talking about how they was asking him questions at another project that he took on, you know, extra project. And they was asking him questions. So I said, you know, just tell him what's going on. You know, you was on vacation and, you know, you had an emergency. So, and that's it. I don't think they're trying to micromanage you. That's their job, to make sure the patients are getting seen. You took on this extra project. No, I make six figures. And this is just an extra project I took on because he recently went through a divorce 2 years ago. So he, you know, taking care of some stuff. So, okay. So I said, well, how did the meeting go? That was later that afternoon. He said, yeah, they thought they can, you know, question me. They thought they can micromanage me. Da da da. He's just going off. And I said, do you have anger issues? Are you angry? And he paused and he's like, I'm going to call you back. And then, like, 2 hours later, he sent this book talking about, I feel like that's unfair that you judge me and you don't really know me and you're judging me. Those are red flags right there. I was like, and he's like, I don't know what to say about you because you shouldn't do that. I said, you have a great life. Thank you. Because what red flags? If you over here talking about somebody micromanaging you, you going off, you going to tell them, do you? What question? Do you have anger issues? That's something I need to see. And you do, you have an issue. So his past trauma with what he went through in his divorce bleeding over. And I got my own blood on me. I don't need nobody else's, you know, especially if you get asked a question. So I was like, yeah, you have a good one. That's, I don't care how much money you make. They think that because they make six figures. What? Dude, I can go work at Jack in the Box.
People with six figures have anger issues too. You know, everybody mm-hmm. can.
Yeah, yes. I think you triggered something. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Because, I mean, the way he paused, I guess he paused to kind of like capture himself and like maybe rebuttal. But I think it was too much for him and he couldn't. So I assume that's what took 2 hours. But, you know, we said this before. I think therapists need therapists because, you know, it's they deal with a lot. You know, they the things that they're telling you to do, half the times they can't even do themselves. You know, like they try to tell you how to work on your kids. But guess what? They can't. They probably have some kids, you know, you see this all the time on TV shows. They can't even control their own kids. You know, you probably control your own kids on your own better than they do, you know, or they're telling you what to do because they're reading out of a textbook or they remember what they read when they were learning this stuff, but they don't practice what they preach. You know, it can't be if he's going to, you know, basically tell you he needs to call you back and text this to you instead of, you know, talking to you. I mean, this is 1 week into a relationship that, you know, he was promising a lot of stuff.
Man,
And he couldn't even deliver past the week.
Yeah, so that was the crazy part, you know, in a week. Like, I'm going to marry you. I said, well, shh, you ain't seen the sour part of me yet. I can be sour when I want to be, you know, especially if I feel like I'm being triggered or attacked and I warn you. You know what I'm saying? So you haven't seen that side. How you want to get married that quick? That I mean, well, when a man know what they want,
We heard that okay. before.
Yes. But it's just oh my God. It's like this, that's why I just want to pause. Like, leave me alone. Like, God block some things from me and just let me get me together. I just want to be peaceful, getting me and my mind together. Because first of all, I don't even want to have to explain to somebody how to treat me. I want them to already know. You know what I'm saying? I want that type of person to come around and be like, she deserved to be treated this way. She deserved to be treated with respect and honor. You know what I'm saying? That.
Well, sometimes, and I got to step in here because sometimes when a man does a lot for a woman, sometimes the woman, let's not say doesn't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. They probably don't know how to act because they still, you know, dealing with their mental trauma, you know, or they feel like, oh, he's doing this because he wants this. Oh, he's doing this because he wants to do this, you know, or something like that. You know, me in my hand, you know, the way I see it, you know, me being a Gemini, you know, is kind of weird for me.
It's kinda, crazy.
It's kind of, you know, weird for me to do certain things, you know, sometimes. You know, I second guess, you know, I know what I should do, but then I second guess it and then I procrastinate and I don't do anything. So sometimes, you know, I leave things alone just to see, you know, what will happen, you know, and then, you know, kind of, you know, they say we have two personalities, two people, which I think it's true. I have my work personality and then I have my home and my love personality, you know, so It's two totally different things. And I think sometimes I know what I need to do for work. You know, in my mind, you know, I need to do this, this, and this. This is what projects I have coming up. This is what I got to do. This is, you know, what's up and coming. Well, this is the appointment or the, you know, the meeting that I have, you know. But in life, you know, it's like with me dealing with the previous relationship, I'm like, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, and, you know, men, you know, as a culture, we start to do things really good and then we fall off, you know, like buying women flowers, they get used to it. And then they want it all the time, you know, cause they just got used to it. And I know that's a thing. Cause I know when me and Janelle first started dating, you know, I was buying her flowers, I was dropping them off at work so they could take it to her desk and, you know, she could show off and all that, you know, and things like that. But, you know, men tend to fall off. They're like, okay, I'm already with her. I get that. I know, you know, there's things, and I've been trying to pick back up, like, you know, just randomly, I'll just pull out the clothes from the washer, put in the dryer, you know, and lately I've been, you know, folding up towels, you know, trying to do at least a couple little things here and there. And, you know, because I know, like I said, as a male, as a species, we tend to do things, you know, when we want something, or, you know, when we know there's something to gain, or we're trying to gain the love of someone, you know. And like I said, that's why I like being on this podcast, because I can tell you in a male perspective, and you can tell me, you know, in your mind what you've seen in the past, and you can say, well, yeah, that's true. You know, y'all do that. You know, but there's women that do the same thing. You know, it goes both ways. But I think with men, we just tend to forget a little bit. I mean, we'll tell you we love you, you know, and then sometimes I'll do something and I'll just say, ooh, I'm sorry. Or I'll laugh because I'm a comedian. So I'll laugh first and then I'll say, oh, I'm sorry. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't say I'm sorry. And I just laugh. I'm like, you're okay. And I don't say I'm sorry. And that, me, you're okay, is like, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes. I mean, me getting to know me better, which is refreshing, very, very refreshing to spend time with myself. So my two personalities, Kim and Kimberly, getting to know both of them, you know what I'm saying?
And Cuckoo.
Yeah, someone, you know, Kimberly is like, ah, crazy, now what's up? I'm getting to know myself and definitely getting to learn what I like and don't like, because I can joke all day, but if I feel like this person is dear to me, I'm going to tell them what I don't like to joke with. We can joke anything but this here. Right here, yeah. That's kind of a sore subject for me, and for many reasons, I haven't opened that treasure box to, you know, get over, to recover from those past traumas. So, yeah, that makes me feel some kind of way. But over the last, man, so 2 weeks, I'm gonna say, it's been refreshing. Like, me and my ex, the one that I originally started this podcast talking about, it's a whole 180 change with us. And it's not that we want to get back together. No, that's not going to happen, because that, you know, I can say that that's the only man that I truly, truly loved. You know, truly 100% gave, you know, all my all to, you know, every bit. And the cut was so deep, you know. Yeah, I'm a heal from it. I'm healing from it. I'm over it. But it was just too deep, you know, to even go back there. But for us now to have a conversation and, hey, we know what we should have did to end this, right? We knew that it was coming to the end. God had to remove us from each other for us to grow. And it's a healing process to me. So I know that, look, this came from you. This is why I don't like men joking with me this way. I let him get away for so long because I allowed him to do the same thing. And when I see myself going back in that pattern, hold on, let me stop it. I should have stopped it at the beginning. But let me stop it right there. And then when I tell somebody and it shows me, you don't respect me, because it's going back to the history with him. And the same vice versa with him and the, you know, with what he and I went through, you know. I think that he see with his significant other now that Kim wasn't too unreasonable with just, she, you know, she did everything she needed to do with the house and the kids. But all I needed was that, hey, babe, I got you. Just give me a hug, you know. And he wasn't, like you, not a big communicator on that. Let's just get it done. But I'm a communicator. Hey, you know, we got this going on, so we're going to get it done. How are we going to get it done? And so he see that difference. Like, a woman is a woman, period. You got some of them hard women out there. But if a woman is so independent, and this is just from some women I know, that if they so independent, if you fuck up, they go and get the next dude. Yep. You ain't gonna last long. So on to the next. So yeah, you thinking you good. That little whatever you got that you ain't fixed, they're gonna go to the next one who does have something fixed for them. So yeah, he see that now, and us having conversations now, and it's a healing thing for him, and it's a healing thing for me. Well, yeah, but is no relationship there. Is no want to jump in the bed with you type thing. It's just that that's something that God opened that door for. So I guess I didn't pray for that. I prayed for God to fix me, and what he said, okay, in order to fix you, let's fix this. Because you moved on, but you totally hadn't recovered. Because you don't want to talk to this guy. You don't want to be in the vicinity of this guy. And I was like, God, you know what he did? Why would I? But now it's just like, okay, I can be in the same area of you and not even have a care. And then we can now laugh and joke, which we used to do. But at the end, it was always a put down. You know, well, I felt that way.
Yeah.
And when I told him, he didn't understand it. And now he understands it, you know. So.
But like you said, and you said this recently, you said you can eat, just not at the same table.
Just not at the same table.
You moved on. You know, that's a good thing. And then, mm-hmm. So just backtracking. So trauma from your past, you know, bringing into your new relationship, you're basically saying that you have to move on from it, make sure that you're not dwelling on it or bringing, you know, what happened in the past into the new relationship, because you have to give, and I think I said this before, you have to give this new relationship a 100% wholehearted try. Because you don't know that person. I mean, granted, you know, you found out that person you were just with had anger issues, but, you know, you found it early on. So that's good. But I think with other relationships, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, put them, what do you call it? Put them through the grinder and find out if there's any issues and see if you're, both of you are willing to move forward. Because everybody has an issue, but. You know, is it, how many issues are you willing to deal with to find that Mr. Right or Mr. Right Now?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And that's the thing. Mr. Right Now is not an option for me anymore, because I ain't going to say it. Let me take that back. But because I don't want to get under nobody trying to get over somebody. I just want to make sure that I'm respected and you understand. I need to learn me more so I can teach people how to treat me, because people don't see it. They don't see their faults, and I never knew how bad that is. You don't see your fault. You didn't have anything to do with something that caused somebody to act or say something. None of that. You didn't have anything to do with that. And people will sit there because they haven't checked themselves, will say that. So they causing trauma along the line. They got this trail of trauma waiting to put it off on everybody instead of fixing themselves. And I don't want to be that person, because I want to be able to sleep at night. You know what I'm saying? Knowing that I'm not infecting anybody with my past trauma, causing them to feel some kind of way about themselves. And that's what happens in relationship. They put that infection into somebody's body or mind from what they deal with. So.
Yeah, and we said that before, because bringing the past into the new relationship, you're just going to be guarded the whole time. You're going to be, you know, worried about, you know, is he going to do this? Is he going to make fun of this? Oh, you know, if I eat a little bit too much, is he going to make fun of me? Or, you know, if I, you know, snore while we sleep. You know, is he going to wake up, or is he going to record me or something like that? Now, if you do it jokingly, you know, that's cool, because I know I do that all the time. But, mm-hmm. You know, it's I think, you know, in order to move on, you have to recognize your actual faults and flaws and work on that while you're working on the new relationship. And don't bring what happened in the previous relationship into this one. And think and pawn that off. And like you said, you're going to make up this whole story in your mind. You know, your mind is just going to wander and just keep going and make the story
into, you know, instead of having just, you know, one paragraph of a story, you're going to have a whole book by the time you're done. And you're like, did he do this? Was he out with this person? You know, and he didn't say he loved me today. You know, does that mean he don't love me? And then, you know, he calls me two times a day, and today he only called me once. You know, it's, you know, that especially, you know, the jealous ones, you know, that story turns into, you know, a fight. You know, like, I don't know if you've seen those skits, like when the person falls asleep and they picture their significant other cheating on them or, you know, kissing someone else, and they wake up and slap them, and the person doesn't even know what the hell happened because, you know, they weren't in the dream. They were in the dream because the person dreamt it, but, you know, that person dreamt the whole dream about them cheating on them, and that really never happened. Same as, you know, some people that are jealous just, you know, concoct this whole story in their head, and that's it. That's you cheated at that point because that's what's in their head now.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, I don't know if I told you this, but I learned from this lady. This, I call her my prayer warrior. We teach our kids a lot of things from what we say and what we do. And then it goes over into an adulthood. Like, you get adult men that's almost 50 years old. And these come from kids too. What is 16-year? I told you about Jennifer when she told me about the 16-year-old class. The class mm-hmm. was a group of 16-year-old. Yeah. And did we talk about it?
Yeah.
So we did. We talked about it.
You gave me that acronym.
Yeah. So
legs open.
Yeah. So to them, and you hear nowadays that older men that's almost 50 sound just like these 16-year-olds. What love means to them is legs open very easily. And I'm like, when you know, how a 16-year-old know this? They learned it from somebody. Yep. They learned it. And so that's going to teach them in life that's all a woman's about. That's it. You know, they're not about to be loved and cherished and respected. It's all about a sexual thing. And that's how these men are today, because they went through their past drama. Instead of fixing themselves, that's all they look for. Sex, sex, sex. Sex from this woman. Sex from that woman. Sex from this. I mean, and y'all going to have issues. You looking for sex from that woman, it's never going to be that full-on intimacy, because she may not be getting what she needs from you. You know, she there just having sex. And you think you get, well, y'all guys, whatever y'all do to get y'all's, whatever. But it is a different thing for us women. We there because we want that emotional feel or that male on us. So, yeah, man, my son said it the best. He's 32. He said, women have sex with who they want. Men have sex with who they can.
But I mean, also, you know, for men, they're going to take it whenever they can get it. Just because I told you the ratio from women to men is totally different. You know, a woman is looking for that 5% guy, you know, money, tall, dark, handsome, you know, job. You know, a man is just looking for what they're looking for. Either it's going to be sex. If they find a woman that they want and they want to be with, that's who they're going to be with. They don't care what the woman looks like. I mean, I can tell you that, you know, if worse comes to worse, you know, a man will find someone that they can be with, that they're secure. You know, they're not going to go find that top 5% woman just because, you know, they want a real pretty woman, because that woman can easily just move on. They don't have to deal with them. They don't have to deal with you know, all his stuff. Like you said, if it's a woman that, you know she looks good and can just find someone else and is independent, let's just move on. It doesn't matter for them.
And it's crazy how everybody look for sex. Like, what's going to happen when both of y'all go through your issue? You going to look for sex because it's good? You know, you look, it's going to be good then because y'all just getting into it or whatever. What's going to happen when one of y'all start having issues?
Yeah.
You're going to go look for somebody. And I think that was always my problem. Now, with the other one, it was the sex, and it was just we first 2 years, it was rocky. Then it got good. But we had before he started making a lot of money. We had a connection. But that's what I want, a connection. I want a man that's mature with himself and knows, yeah, I got some issues, but I am working on my issue. But if all you looking for is sex, shit, you can go get that anywhere. Them little young girls going to give it to you like you want it. But it's never going to be nothing there. Men and women don't understand, oh, man, the sex was good. Okay, what happened after the sex?
Yep.
What are you stuck with, just sex?
Y'all each went your own separate way.
Mm-hmm. Or is that the person you're going to be in a relationship? Is that person going to have you when you get sick? So that's the kind of relationship I want. If I'm in the hospital bed, I want that person to still look at me with the love that he, or the care that he had when he was looking at me in the bedroom. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's different. In this day and time, everybody just looking for whatever. You know, there's nobody maturing. I'm going to hit this. I'm going to hit that. I'm going to go with that. I guess that's the way it is. But
all right. So wrapping it up. So how do you feel? I know you kind of mentioned, you know, how to get over the trauma. How do you feel about dealing with a significant other that comes in with trauma, and how would you handle that?
How would I handle that is, let's have a talk. And men don't really conversate what goes on with them, but I would usher them, you know, to, let me pray for you. I'm going to pray for you, not pray on you. So no matter what, if you my enemy, I won't even say a word about you, because I'm not going to pray on you or say anything else. But if coming into a relationship, I'm going to pray for you and pray that, hey, maybe you need a little therapy. Let's go to church. Let's have Bible study. You know, we do that amongst our group and on our team. Let's have a little study, you know, Bible study. Let's read a scripture. But just everybody's not perfect. Everybody going through stuff. And I would want them to be the same way with me. Yeah, I don't know the Lord or the Bible that well, but let's open up and let's pray on this. Because if you really want to be with me, we're gonna get through this. That's it. Because you got marriages that's been going on for years, and they just sitting there rocking that boat, rocking and tipping and topping, instead of going to get help. Because everybody grow and change over here. Nobody stay the same. If that's the case, that love will be, oh, she's sexy. He's sexy. No, they change over the years. So that's how you have to get that therapy help, either from church or a good therapist. A good therapist that know themselves.
All right. Well, that concludes our podcast for today. Thank you for checking us out. Next week, hopefully, our special guest will be able to join us. Y'all have a good one.